This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
I am Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 4th, episode 1250, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday!
Lord, I love to hear that Friday 5 o'clock whistle moan. As the moon comes up and the sun goes down, put the juice to my truck.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Horses in the Morning on this Friday morning. We appreciate you stopping by. We're changing up accents today. We were all Australia yesterday, and we're all just American today.
Jamie, I can do Australia,
oh,
mate.
Oh, God, I do. As soon as I said that, I saw.
All you have to do is tell me, and I'll slip right into it like it's just so comfortable.
It really sounds like your British accent, though, I have to say.
No, that's totally different. That's like, cheerio, it's very lovely to see you today.
And we, you know, as much as we made the Australians happy yesterday, giving them an episode, today they're back gone again.
They turned it off.
Come back in a month. We'll have another Australian episode for you. But it was a lot of fun yesterday. It was a good
time.
See
you later, mate. Next
and
month.
And I apologize for Jamie, and like I do every day. So... So we have a lot. We have a big show planned for today. A lot of exciting stuff going on. I tell you what, I'm tired though. I'm kind of glad it's Friday. I've been working a lot this week because we're following up with. I've been working mostly as a salesman this week, and because of the follow up from Ada.
Yeah. And, so are the millions rolling in?
Oh yes, they're just rolling in. Although I will say it's probably going to end up being one of our most successful Adas. And then we have that project we're working on, which we can't announce yet.
That's going to be big.
It's going to be big, and I think
I want to know. Just, I'm not going to give anything away, okay. But why don't you pick projects that are actually relatively easy? I mean,
what's
my God,
the challenge in that, Jamie? Oh. It would be like you bought a Grand Prix dressage horse, and then you're down doing training level. What challenge is that?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, we are at the top of the podcasting world. We need to stretch the envelope. We need to push things.
You are going to get divorced. That's going to happen. She's going to leave you. She's like, I can't take it anymore.
Oh, she was that way. She was at that level about 20 years ago.
So you've been teetering on the
edge. Oh, you'll learn. You'll learn. Give it another couple of years. You'll be at that level too. And then it'll be just the next 20 years like us.
I think I'm the you, though, in my marriage. So.
I was just going to say that, actually. I was just going to say that.
You know, there's just two kinds of people in this world, Glenn. There's the detail guy and there's the big idea guy. You know, you need the big idea guy, and you also need the detail guys. So I feel like you're a big idea guy, and Jennifer's like a detail guy.
Oh, that's exactly the way it is. And I know it's that way in your house because, you know, he's the military guy. They have to be. He flies a freaking fighter jet. He has to be detail-oriented, right?
Well, so. When your wife is the big idea guy, you better have some details you better wrap up. I mean,
and
that's
then
how this works.
We, as the big idea guys, get mad when the detail people say, you can't do that. Right? Because we're going, well, I don't see why we can't do that because we don't think about the little details. And even when they're pointed out to us, they're mere just obstacles in the way.
Make it happen.
That's right.
Make it happen. We should be president and we should be like, have our minions and be like, get it done. Delegation is very important for the big idea guy.
The only president, vice president we're ever going to be is over the minions. That's the only way that's ever going to happen.
Oh, you wish. You wish.
Jennifer, are you on the phone? Are you here? Are you with us?
She left.
Oh, well, we can't hear you, though, so you have to turn on your mic. It helps. And, of course, she's not there. I don't know where she is. Jennifer, we can't hear you. We still can't hear. Oh, you're on mute. That's why. All right. Let's try it now.
Yeah. Who pressed the mute button?
That would be me.
Yeah. Big idea, guy.
Because I didn't want her in on that conversation. I didn't want her joining in there.
Good golly. Can you say bull in a china shop?
Hey, I'm big picture. I know these little mute button things.
That's a detail.
That's a detail.
It's a detail.
Jamie, I'm glad you understand me.
I do. Okay, I do, bud.
Sad.
All in today's Kentucky Performance Products Chock-a-Block Full of Details Freestyle Friday Edition. One of those details is Jerry Crawford, who's going to stop by to relive once again Keen Ice's Trevor's Stakes win. I've got a sneaking suspicion he will want to relive that many, 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 many more times. And then one of Jamie's newfound friends from the Gentling Wild Horses Clinic at Flag Is Up Farms, Gabe Chisa, is going to stop by, and he's going to share the story of Random, one of the horses at the clinic. It's going to be a goodie. Get out your tissue box. And then it's Fork Day with the Equity MFG.com. Really bad ads. And this week's lineup of listener-submitted ads has plenty of the stuff that those forks are made for. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
It's going to be a forking good day.
Wait a second.
Oh, wait.
Keen Ice won the Travers. What? What?
My daily Winnie goes out to our friend, eventer Lainey Ashker, who's been on our show many times. She and her famous horse, Anthony Patch, made their way to England and are riding at Burley, which started yesterday. After the first day of dressage, she had a 48.8, put her in 23rd place at the moment. And she was a little, she said that nerves probably played a little bit of a factor. She had a little bit of trouble during the test, but she was overall happy with the whole thing. And right now, after day one of dressage, they're on day two now, so this is going to completely change. Michael Young from Germany, surprise, surprise, was sitting in first place. Andrew Hoy from Australia sitting in second place, and Tim Price from New Zealand sitting in third place. And that will change. At the end of today, you'll have Michael Young in first and second place. You will probably have William Fox Pitt in third and fourth place. And then there'll be a bunch of British riders and a bunch of Australian riders and New Zealand riders. And then the Americans will be 50 on, thereabouts.
Are you telling me, I mean, much like I'm shocked that Keen Ice won the Trevor. Are you telling me that Michael Young's in first place?
Yes.
What?
Yes, I know it's hard to believe that he has achieved that great status of first place on one of his many thousand four-star horses. But
and Andrew Hoy and Mark Todd are also in the top 10. Yeah, what is the what's going on?
I know. Paul Tapner's in there, by the way. Let's give a shout out to Paul too. He's the host every other week of the Eventing Radio Show. So Paul's right in there.
Yeah, he is. And he's tied for ninth. Yeah. Fantastic.
So good for him.
I didn't look that far down. Okay. Sorry.
I know you look for American flags and all of a sudden you go down a ways. So it's like, okay. All right.
It's you know what? It's not a dressage show.
No, that is true. And that is something that Lainey said. It is not, and this will certainly not be, except for Michael Young is so far ahead of everybody else.
All right, so there's this group on Facebook called OTTB Connect, and it's a lot of people posting about their thoroughbreds, asking questions, this and that, and there's a lot of opinions that fly, blah, blah, blah. Well, I was curious because, you know, that horse I loved named Yummy with Butter. Like, I loved that horse. I don't know where Yummy with Butter is right now, but it still goes down as one of my favorite racehorse names of all time. And so I posted on there just like, hey, some of you guys, I put a picture of Jet, whose registered name is Bumpity. And I'm like, there are a bunch of horses with terrible jockey club names. What are your horses' terrible jockey club names? And oh my gosh, there's like 300 comments of the worst set of names. And so I started writing them down. this morning so I could go over a couple. And there's just too many to even go over because there's so many. I can't get through all of them, but I'll give you some of them, some of my favorites. The horse's name is Crib, but he doesn't crib.
That's a terrible name for a horse.
Bag of Hammers. And coming down the stretch, Wiener Water Soup. Wiener Water Soup.
Well, there's only smelly so many names. There's a lot of horses.
Oh, Smelly Baby.
Oh, that, you know where that comes from.
The Gentleman's Club. I don't want to know where that comes from. A horse that was from somebody in the South, and the horse's name was Dewfly. As in, boy, that sure hurt. It was in the paddock, and I guess it was running around. That sure horse sure do fly. Boy, that horse sure do fly. And it's D-O-O-F-L-Y, do fly. Another horse's name was, this is jockey club names, people, Krusty.
Krusty.
Another girl had a horse. And most of these people changed. Some of them they actually kept. I mean, when they're this bad, like a yummy with butter, you have to keep it. But this horse's name was Roadkill.
Oh, no.
Two words, Roadkill.
Oh, no.
A shiny tin can. It's like they threw a dart against a wall. Like they just like open a book and just take the first sentence. Another one was Invalid Pin.
Like, that's
how
funny.
Would you name a horse that?
That made me think for a minute there.
I know Wendy's gonna love this one. Awesome Chicken. Awesome Chicken. That's the horse's name. Barbecued Bunny.
Oh, another. No.
Uh-huh. Another girl had a horse named Kinky Boots. Another one. Oh, gosh.
That was owned by the same strip club owner as the previous
I know,
one.
As the Gentleman's Club. Senior Glue. Crooked Leg. How do you sell a horse named Crooked Leg? Hi. I would like, he's a great event prospect. What's his
completely
name?
Completely sound.
Completely sound. Crooked Leg. Another one was Shoulda Sold. S-H-U-D-A-S-O-L-D. Shoulda Sold. Hail a Cactus. these are people's horses' names. Like, they own these horses. Another one was named Two-Ton Paula.
Oh, geez.
You just know there's always like good stories behind a lot of these. And then there's a lot of really bad stories. Another horse's name was Fat Guy in a Little Coat. Fat Guy in a Little Coat. And another one, a horse's name was Smelly. Just, I mean, they're actual
Jennifer
jockey
thinks
fucking.
We should combine a couple of your previous ones and make a Krusty Wiener.
Krusty Wiener, or you could do a Two-Ton Barbecued Bunny. I mean,
yeah, that'd be fun just combining them.
There's another one called Get Her Done Ethel. Get Her Done Ethel.
And it was not owned by a blue-collar comedy tour comedian.
No. Another Goat Stomper. Goat Stomper?
Goat Stomper.
Goat, like Goat Stomper. Why Whip Crack and Floozy? That's another one.
Again, the same strip club owner.
Noticing a theme here. I didn't think about this at all. And here you are putting it all together. I love it. Anyway, it's just weird. So
what's that Facebook page called again?
OTTB Connect.
Okay.
And so somebody else posted after me like, if you want to put bad names on there, fine, but let's talk about the good names. And there's like, I don't know, 12 comments. No, nobody wants to talk about good names. They all want to talk about the horse named Speedy Trout.
Right.
Speedy Trout.
Well, you know, from my fishing days, those trout can be speedy sometimes, I will say.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, while we're talking about horses with good names, we should, of course, talk about a certain horse that we've had the owner on before. He's coming back today. But I don't think he'll mind if I play the end of a certain race from last week.
American Pharoah by a head, and Frosted is taking a to him on the far turn. Frosted is right alongside of American Pharoah, and now Victor Espinosa has to ask American Pharoah to go, and Frosted continues to cling to him on the outside as they round the far turn. They're four lengths ahead of Keen Ice, and as they turn for home, American Pharoah has lost the lead at the top of the stretch. Frosted on the outside is now in front, but American Pharoah is battling on from the inside. He's showing all this fight with one furlong to run. And here on the far outside comes Keen Ice with a late threat. American Pharoah put away Frosted. He has to deal with Keen Ice. Keen Ice has got him. Keen Ice has won the Travers over American.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
Larry
Comas can call a race. We have Jerry Crawford on here of Donegal Racing, of course, the owners of Keen Ice. Wow, he can call a race, can he?
You know, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Second, let me wait for my goosebumps to die down here again from listening to your, you know, because that's the first time I've, oh, no, maybe it's not.
No, I didn't think it
but
would.
Anyway.
I didn't think it would be, but for the audience's sake, I had to play it again. You know, congratulations. We've had you on a couple times before after Keen Ice had, you know, didn't fare so well as he did this last week, but boy, you must be flying high this week.
It's been really extraordinary. And by the way, I agree with you about Larry Comas. He called a very fair race, giving credit where it was due. I went up and thanked him and congratulated him on such a good call. The next day, it's fair to say that we got more airtime from Larry Comas in the final furlong than we did from NBC in 2 hours.
That is true, isn't it?
But that, you know what? That's absolutely fair under the circumstance. And then, you know, the truth is that if American Pharoah, what great sportsmen the Zayats were to bring him to the Travers, if he had not come, it would have been like us winning a consolation prize. But because he came, the spotlight could not have been brighter. And, you know, we've obviously benefited from that tremendously in terms of people's awareness and familiarity with Donegal Racing and with Keen Ice. And our horse is pretty, I can assure you, pretty well known now around the world.
Well, you know, I didn't think about that, but you're right. If he hadn't come, it would have just been another, it would have been on the racing forum, you know, and the racing websites would have covered who won the Travers, but nobody would have cared.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's the thing.
You would have cared.
American
you would have won the
Pharoah.
Money anyway, but, you know.
But, you know, look, we're all in this for those special moments, and it's a special moment because he was there. And the thing about American Pharoah's Triple Crown is he took a racing story and made it a story in the general populace.
Right.
And that just happens rarely in horse racing. And when it does, all of a sudden you have so many more people watching. I can give you one. My mind is still blown by this. For 4.5 hours after the Travers on Saturday, Keen Ice was the number one thing trending worldwide.
Wow.
I mean, that could never have happened without American Pharoah and without his prior accomplishments. So, by the way, I barely even know what trending means, but my kids assure me it's a big deal.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Well, you know, we were with you, and I'm so appreciative of you coming on today. Matter of fact, when Jennifer said you were going to come on, I was like, well, he's a good guy, because I'm sure he's got the, you got NBC and everybody else asking you, but we were there for you at the very, before all of this, so.
Yes.
Well, anything I can ever do to help promote a sport I love and these magnificent creatures, you can always count on me.
Well, now, of course, American Pharoah, we haven't talked about this yet in the show today. The owners, who we've had on too, have come out and said that they are thinking about pointing him toward the Breeders' Cup. That must
Shocker.
Make your day.
It does. There's an interesting little tug of war going on between Coolmore, who owns the breeding rights, and the Zayats, who own the racing rights.
I bet there is.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm sure Coolmore would have loved it if he had retired after the Triple Crown or retired after the Haskell on the highest possible note. And let me tell you something. People are going to make this into the American Pharoah Keen Ice rematch in the Breeders' Cup Classic, but here's the truth of the matter. There are other horses in that race at least as good as us, right? So there's no guarantee that either one of us will win in the Breeders' Cup Classic. A lot will depend, just as it did in the Travers, and how the race shapes
Jerry,
up.
Jerry, we have the opportunity here to, you talk about, you know, bringing racing out into the mainstream. We have the opportunity here for an old-fashioned 1920s match race. A special Breeders' Cup match race where you guys are on trains going across the country. The horses are on the trains. You're doing whistle-stop tours. This could be great, all the way to Kentucky.
Never gonna.
Yeah, happen. Well, good luck. Good luck selling that to Coolmore. unless there are 15 of the best mares in the world waiting at every whistle stop, I don't think you're gonna make that happen.
You know, American Pharoah wouldn't mind that, I'm sure.
Right.
Now, Jerry, you guys, you know, obviously you're in for the Breeders' Cup. Congratulations, by the way. Keen Ice, I don't think he's getting enough credit for just how incredibly hard he had to run. I mean, American Pharoah saw eye to eye with Frosted and kept pushing. And then, you know, your horse probably went, Keen Ice was quite a bit to the outside. So he ran even farther. And I think it was like the fastest quarter for American Pharoah. And then Keen Ice beat him, you know, so you guys should get a lot of credit for just how incredibly hard and how hard he ran, and Del Romans are training him just to the nth degree, just being ready for that race. You guys are pointing towards the Breeders' Cup Classic, correct? Because you're in now.
We are. And I appreciate what you just said about Keen Ice, but I would say it about Keen Ice and about American Pharoah and about Frosted. Here's the reality. And by the way, we did run 40 feet longer than American Pharoah. So there's 4.5 lengths and we won by a length. So we actually ran 5.5 lengths faster. Nobody will ever know that, but the three of us and your listeners today in all likelihood. But American Pharoah ran his co-best buyer lifetime at a classic distance. Mm-hmm. So he ran 1.5 seconds faster than he did when he won the Kentucky Derby. So there's no criticism that would be fair of his effort last Saturday. I mean, when the horse runs as fast as he's ever run, I don't know how people can criticize him for having an off day, but
now,
in any event.
Now, you're pointing towards the Breeders' Cup and the Classic, obviously, correct? And
that's correct. And, of course, we're going to have, in addition to American Pharoah and Keen Ice, we'll have Beholder, who turned in in that unbelievable performance at the Pacific Classic. Mm-hmm. By the way, she came within 2 ticks of tying the world record in the Pacific, the all-time record in the Pacific Classic, which, by the way, just happens to be held by Dullahan, another Donegal racing horse. Mm-hmm. So that was fun to see her explode to that level of performance. We'll have Honor Code in all likelihood. So, and then we'll have 6 more horses that people have never heard of, any of them who could win. So if these horses all show up and go into the gate, this is going to be the most spectacular Breeders' Cup Classic in history. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
And I think
cool
I'm going to bet
it that it's at Keeneland too. Jamie. I just wanted to throw that in there. I just think it's very cool that it's there.
No, I was just going to tell everybody, if you're going to bet, if you're a betting man, which, as we know, I am a betting woman, I would say get a superfecta between Keen Ice, American Pharoah, Beholder, and Honor Code. And then you're guaranteed to win, right?
Oh, I should listen. I should listen every time.
Don't do it. Don't listen to me. No, I think it's going to be such an absolutely exciting race. Are you guys planning on doing anything in between? Any shorter races, any classics, anything between now and the Breeders' Cup? I'm curious about the thought process with that. Do you rest them? Do you train them? What's the thought process for this long of a stretch?
Well, you've just asked the key question. Here's the problem. Horses almost never win the Breeders' Cup Classic off 60 days rest. Mm-hmm. Almost every winner, I think 18 of the last 20 winners had raced within 4 or 5 weeks of the Breeders' Cup Classic. So there's one piece of history. The other piece of history is that all of us who went to the Travers. And by the way, we went there knowing we would face this problem on the other side. Mm-hmm. We've had hard campaigns, harder campaigns than the others, the older horses. And so really, do you want to squeeze the lemon again between now and the Breeders' Cup Classic? Mm. You know, it's the rare horse who can stand up to that. Now, I actually think if one of these horses can stand up to that, it's us. Our speed figures have improved every single race in 2015. Mm. I mean, I don't think anybody, regardless of whether they think Kenice is the best horse, best three-year-old horse in the world, they would at least say he's been the most steadily improving.
He's getting faster. And
there's no doubt he's getting faster, and he's very, very sound. But you can still only do so much and expect so much before you get a bounce. And so what happens if we run on October 3rd, say in the Jockey Club or wherever, and he turns in another big performance, you know, that bounce word starts to come into your mind as being a potential at some point. Horses are not capable of getting better forever their entire life. So, and by the way, we also have the Dubai World Cup in our sights, late March of 16. So we
well,
have to,
I don't know why you would go over and do that race. No,
$10 million.
I have 10 million reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you do.
And by the way, I'm sure you guys have been there. It's an extraordinary experience.
Dubai? Yeah, I mean, sure. I go every year.
It's hey, just charge it to your network. No
yeah,
problem.
There,
no
there
problem.
Donegal
yeah.
Racing is
funny. Jerry,
my
you're
bill.
Breaking up, and we have to go now.
No,
yeah,
okay.
Understand.
Carry on about the race. I'm interested. So there is the bounce thing. There's the whole, do we go? Do we not go? What are you leaning towards? This is like the biggest decision probably in Kenice's career.
It is. But the great news is more often than not, the horse will tell you what he or she wants to do. In this case, we'll wait until three Saturdays from last Saturday. We'll breeze him. If he is breezing well but not jumping out of his skin, dying to do more, well, then probably we'd train him up to the Breeders' Cup Classic. If, on the other hand, he's fighting the rider and wanting to kick down the stall, then sometimes it's better to run him and let him release that energy and rebuild it rather than trying to contain it for that long. So probably 7 days or 21 days from last Saturday, you'll probably get some indication from us of what's next.
Okay. Well, I want to get back to, before we run out of time, too, because Jamie and Jennifer and I have all lived in Lexington for a period of time. Jamie actually breezed horses over at Keeneland. We think Keeneland's one of the coolest tracks around, but do serious race people think that, too?
Yeah, Jamie, sorry you had to go through that awful experience of being in Keeneland early every morning.
That's
pretty awful.
You know, I got trained over at the training track, and then they're like, oh, we're moving to Keeneland. I'm like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. My wife, Linda, used to say, every time Jerry visits Keeneland for the morning breezes, it costs us $1 million.
You know what? Horses, I take the horses when they're done racing and retrain them, Jerry. And I don't know how many horses I would take from Keeneland, like, because they're just all pretty. They don't let ugly horses in the backside.
Yeah, no
of
ugly horses allowed.
They're
Keeneland.
All pretty. Yeah, and I want to take them all. And it didn't cost me $1 million, but it did cost me a lot, for sure.
But you got $1 million in psychic return. I know that. You know, I'll say this about Keeneland, and I'm just obviously back from being up at Saratoga for most of that meet. You know, day in, day out, the quality of racing is better at Saratoga than any place else in the world. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But for sheer beauty and aesthetic impact, and particularly the impact it has on the women in our sport, I think Keeneland is number one. Linda, from day one, that's been her favorite place to go racing. And so it's going to be a very special Breeders' Cup to be there.
Just I can't even.
By the way, Donegal has 200 people signed up already. So you're going to see a lot of green and yellow at the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, there you go.
Can you put another couple on that list? Yeah. I mean, what's it going to hurt?
we'll sneak you in a suitcase and keep it handy for Dubai.
We could buy green and yellow.
I'm pretty sure
I can
do that. Yeah. It sounds
well,
great.
Jerry, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. What's Donegal Racing's website? Is it DonegalRacing.com?
DonegalRacing.com. Exactly. Okay. Exactly right. Right now we're putting together, we only do one partnership a year. It's very small. Usually 8 horses. Last year we bought 7 colts and 1 filly. Of the 7 colts, we had 4 of the 7 on the Kentucky Derby Trail, and all the filly did was run in the Kentucky Yokes. So we continue to enjoy a strike rate that's pretty amazing, and I'm very proud of our team. We have such good people working with us, and you know, we've kind of brought the Moneyball approach to horse racing from baseball, and we're very mathematically driven in the way we select our horses, and Keen Ice was one of those that just jumped off the charts at us, so pretty exciting.
Is Brad Pitt a part of this whole Moneyball thing? Because I'm in.
He should be. That's a very good suggestion. That's a very good suggestion.
I mean, come on.
We do have some pretty well-known people who follow us and are involved in this. So that's exciting.
I assume Brad's going to be in the movie. You know, you would assume.
Well,
that, I mean, right?
He'd have to play me, right?
That's right.
Oh God, I hope my wife's not listening.
She hopes you're serious.
Yeah.
Jerry, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You stopping by again, and we'll talk to you again. Let's say after the Breeders' Cup.
Okay, and listen, one last thing.
Yeah.
We couldn't do what we do if people like you didn't do what you do. And you're growing the sport, you're creating interest, and we're all very grateful to you as well.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. Jerry Crawford, Donegal Racing. Take care, Jerry.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you soon. Oh, my gosh, I love that guy.
He's such a nice guy. We have met so many cool people doing this job. I have goosebumps right now, you know?
Well, you know, the article that came out, and the New York Times, like right after the race, was basically about how classy the owner of Keen Ice was. And I didn't even get to talk to him about that. I mean, he probably would poo-poo
it,
you know, blow
it
off. But I mean, it was like, this guy is super classy. Listen, and what he says about American Pharoah and the Zayats and the whole racing industry, and he's just a champion for it. Just a really cool guy. So I'm definitely honored that he's on our show too. And Jennifer, thanks for tracking him down.
Yeah, and you know, he's got all these requests from NBC and CBS and CNN, and he takes time to come visit with us. That says something about the guy.
It really does.
Yep, although he didn't really offer to pay our way to Dubai.
No, I thought maybe the sneak me in the suitcase thing. Oh, I was going to press that, but then...
Yeah, but I really think he meant in the suitcase. I think he was being literal and not figurative. So, just saying. Although you're small enough, you might actually fit in the suitcase.
Put me in a tack box, wheel me into the barns. I'll hop out when I get there.
You'll fly it's with fine. The horse. That'd be fine. All right, let's take a break for Kentucky Performance Products. And then we have another amazing story coming up here shortly.
Her life was falling apart around her, but when she saw his sweet face and heard the low knicker, the pain eased. She stood in the stall for some time, running a brush over his sleek coat, down his powerful muscles and over his tight, cool tendons. He cocked his back leg, waiting patiently. She scratched his favorite spot and was rewarded with a crinkled smile and outstretched neck. The stress flowed from her body, and she knew with him in her life, she would make it through. This love story is brought to you by Endure Extra, providing high-fat calories, direct-fed microbials, and natural vitamin E to support optimal condition and performance. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Gosh, those commercials get me every time. Can't stand it. Anyway, I would like to welcome to the show Gabe, who runs a rescue, but also was in the Gentling Wild Horses course with me at Monty Roberts' Flag Is Up Farms. Good morning, Gabe.
Good morning, Jamie. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Thank you so much for getting up early. I know you're on the same time zone as me. 6:30 is not the time most people want to be chit-chatting, but how's it going? You're in Los Angeles, correct?
We are in Los Angeles.
Now, tell everybody. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry, there's a little bit of a delay.
Yeah. I are you on speakerphone or anything?
I'm not. Let me does that sound better?
Yes, that's much better. Thanks. Well, Gabe and I did a class together at Monty Roberts, and Gabe had the horse. I told you guys about it a couple times. He had a paint horse named Random, the one that was super, super abused. But I want to back up a little bit, Gabe, and first tell everybody about what you do in Los Angeles.
Well, my wife and I established Fairlawn Farms, which is a horse rescue, about 3 years ago. We've built it up to what it is today. We run it off our horse ranch in Chatsworth, California. We have anywhere between 12 to 18 horses at any given time. And our goal is to essentially rescue, rehab, and rehome these horses to qualified homes that are, you know, going to commit for life to a horse. We sort of special in a lot of the off-the-track thoroughbreds that end up in some of the low-end auctions that occur out here just outside of the Los Angeles area. You know, very healthy horses, unfortunately, you know, unable to race for whatever reason. And it just takes a little bit of time to retrain them, and they make wonderful horses, you know, for trail rides, or even some are jumpers. Some have more serious injuries and can only be companion horses. But that's our goal. And in 3 short years, we've been able to rehome approximately 50 horses.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, one horse that would not have made a fantastic child's pet was a horse named Random, who we became very intimately associated with at the Gentling Wild Horses course. And you had never even really heard of Monty Roberts until you got Random. And Random is a horse that was just basically untouchable, and was incredibly aggressive when you would try to touch him, kicking, whatever, striking. Very, very difficult horse that you had for 2 years, and you worked diligently to get next to and close to. You sent him to a trainer who basically sent him back to you with a halter on and said, "Don't take it off." So this is a horse that has been through a lot. Now tell everybody about Random, and kind of where he came from. How you got him?
Random came out of the Lancaster auction, and we were going to go to the auction that night, and we were running a little bit late, and a friend of ours was already there, and she said, "Hey, there's this wonderful-looking paint draft Mustang-looking kind of horse. He's pretty amazing. He's coming out right now. Do you guys want him? I think it's exactly what you guys want." And you know, like, you know, we'll bid up to a certain amount, and I think we got him from about $400 or maybe $425, something like that. Sight unseen, we arrived, and then you know, the good news was that, you know, he was wild and nobody could really touch him, and so we had to somehow get him on the trailer, which we did, and we brought him home. How he got to the auction was a bit of a story as well. The story was that they found him on Edwards Air Force Base just running around, and nobody could catch him. And he was out there for about 3 weeks, and finally they got enough people to kind of corral him into a trailer and deliver him to the auction. So that's his background. You know, we had him for approximately 2 years, which is a long time to have a horse and not be able to, you know, eventually have him come around. And Random, from what we concluded over at Monty's, was most likely used as, you know, one of these backyard rodeo type of places that really abuse and mistreat these horses. Because, and you saw it, you know, firsthand, as soon as you get up to him, he's completely fearful. He's just waiting for pain, you know, especially on the on side. The other side was a little bit better, but he was a very abused horse.
I think Monty said that his offside is worse because the person who whipped him was right-handed. So holding the lead rope in their left hand and beating him with the right. And it was incredibly true. And So this horse has had, not only has he been let go in the middle of the desert, because Edwards Air Force Base is the total sticks desert. It's in the middle of nowhere. So somehow this horse got on the Air Force Base some way. That's number one. Number two, he's been a backyard rodeo horse, and he's been beaten to almost pieces. So he's fear, he's angry, he's nervous, he's skittish, he's scared, he's so distrusting. And for 2 years, you tried really hard. But you know what? That horse would not have been alive a day after that auction. So you guys rescuing him definitely saved his life. Now, what type of stuff, I mean, gosh, I feel silly asking this question, but what type of stuff did you do with him at Monty's? I was there, but you tell the story.
Yeah, it was very similar to stuff you did. it was fairly, you know, here's what I love most about Monty's program, in that, you know, we sat in class for an hour, and then we got up and we went in the pen, and we observed it. And then we also got in the pen with Monty and did it. So from day one, we were in there with, you know, we had three other Mustangs and we had Random. And we worked with all the horses. So we not just discussed the techniques. We observed Monty and the trainers utilizing the techniques. And then we went in and learned them firsthand by doing, you know, and that really is what kept me going through that whole program. It was exciting right after day one. And, what's beautiful about Bonin's techniques is they're designed for the wild horse, which Random really isn't. He has had a lot of exposure to humans, whereas the other three horses we worked with kind of have a clean slate. So they don't have that background of, you know, the pain that right. a lot of these trainers cause horses. Random did. So he had a lot to really get over and work through and be able to deal with. So he was only able to transgress from one level to the next very slowly. You know, sometimes you could do two levels, but, you know, you're still starting at square one almost the next day.
Now, and Gabe, what you're talking about too, when you're talking about kind of going through the levels, is in the gentling pin, in that pin, you can go up and touch him one day. And then the next day it was like, you'd never done that before. And so we got to where, you know, 2 weeks worth, Monty would bring him out of the gentling pin and try to touch him. And it was like, he'd never been touched. And one day it was, you could walk up to him with that fake arm and you could touch him on the withers. And then it was like 20 minutes later, you couldn't. So the trust issues that Random had were just incredible. And the regression, and I believe Monty said something about having flashbacks, that horses that are wild don't have flashbacks. They don't have anything to flashback to. But horses like Random that are severely abused have flashbacks. And I think that that was something that kind of slowed his progress, right?
Yeah, and those are basically their memories. So in other words, the other quote that he used often was, I want to give him something to think about. And that's why we always end at a good point, because mm-hmm. you tend to remember the last thing that happened with most stuff. So, and also the wonderful quote was, horses learn overnight. And that's exactly what happened. So they go back to their stall, and then they start to reflect on, oh, I kind of remember that person. I like that person. Or, you know, I was worried about this other person, but they didn't hurt me either. So that starts to sink in. And with a clean slate, it'll take root quicker because there's nothing else there to contradict it. With Random, right. obviously there was a world of hurt, you know, so, yeah.
So let's fast forward. We've got 2 weeks, Monty Roberts. At the end, what did Monty tell you? I guess to start with, what were your goals of taking Random? Like, what did you have expectations of having him like at the end of 2 weeks?
Yeah, and I remember you asking me this question, I think, on the second or third day, and I was like, you know what? I honestly don't know. I really don't know what's to come of this. And, you know, this horse, we've had him for 2 years, and 9 months prior, you know, we realized, you know, this horse is probably best off at a sanctuary, someplace he can go and just find another herd of horses and just exist and be a horse. That's probably what's best for him. And so we put him on a waiting list, and you know, they requested pictures. They were really interested, and we waited, and we were just like, oh no, you know, he's not. They're not interested in him. They just went radio silent, so to speak. So, our trainer knew of Monty, and she said, you know, you really ought to try this. This is the first time this course is happening. Monty Roberts is actually teaching it. He doesn't often teach, you know, specific courses. Some are handled by his instructors, and I think it'd be great for Random. So, we signed him up on Thursday. We brought him up on Thursday because he was already accepted a week or so prior. I actually signed up on Thursday. they called Friday and said, hey, we'd really love to have Random up. We have space for him now. And then we started on Monday. And so that to me was like, oh boy, great. So, well, I just have to take it in stride. We'll see what happens with the course. If I decide, you know, he's the perfect horse, we'll end up keeping him. If, you know, we discover what we discover and it doesn't work out, we still have a safety net. I didn't want to.
And you've done your due diligence. You've done your due diligence. You've given the horse every chance. I mean, my God, if Monty Roberts can't fix him.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't want to disclose that up front because oftentimes people will be like, okay, whatever. We don't have to deal with him. He's got a home or he's got a place to go after this. But I really wanted to be quite honest. I was in love with this horse. And that worked over time because he was such a challenge. And I could tell underneath his fear, which kept him at the longest distance possible from you, he was still interested. He never took your eyes off of you. He always knew where you were, and he just needed to maintain that distance. So I was hoping that that would eventually go away for him. And it did. It did. You saw it on the first day. Monty went in there and was able to have him follow him around without the lead line and a halter after about 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We know the techniques work. And then after learning them, on the very last day, I was like, you know what? I have to go for broke. I have to see if I can do this. And took the halter off, let the lead line drop. And he was reluctant at first, but I came back around with the join-up technique. And he just followed me around. He followed me all the way back to the stall, which was, you know, a few steps further. So I know we could have worked with him. I know he probably would have been a good horse, but those flashbacks would always still be there. It would just be a matter of...
I must interject right now, just because you were down in the pen and you didn't see what happened, was this horse that's so combative and so fear-driven and so angry and so afraid, when he followed Monty around and then followed you around, every one of us girls was crying. Like, I was actually about to tear up just remembering that moment, because it was just, it just goes to show you how amazing the join-up technique is and how incredible Monty is and how he, what a great teacher he is, to be able to get you, who virtually had never even heard of Monty till a couple of days before that, you're in there doing it. It's just incredible. But the thing is, you know, obviously Random was not set out to be that future riding horse, like you said, with the flashbacks. So, what is Random doing now?
So we brought him back home and we put him back in his pen, and I was like, you know what? I was torn. I was completely torn, knowing that, you know, they were expecting him to come up to the sanctuary. And I was like, you know what? I have to call this lady and tell her. I need a few days. I need to decide if there's a chance for him to stay with me. Cause I was having separation anxiety. I didn't want him to go. And, so I brought him out to a round pen and I worked with him a little bit, and you know, all that was still there. It was still there. I was able to get him to follow me around. I was able to touch him and pet him on the neck and the withers. And, you know, obviously I didn't go down to the hind or to the legs without the fake arm. But it all was still there, and I was able to do that. And you know, had I worked with him long enough, I'm sure it would have progressed. But at the same time, he always would have been a dangerous horse. So I was kind of outvoted. Everybody was like taken to the sanctuary. I asked Monty, you know, what do you think about this whole sanctuary thing after the end of the course? And he said it would probably be the best thing for him. I asked Denise in private as well. That was the same answer she gave me. My wife was like, he may never have this opportunity again to go to this wonderful sanctuary. And so it took me, Random loaded in about 90 seconds.
Really?
To get him into the trailer. But it took me 3 hours to decide to do it. The trailer was in place. It was open and I was ready to go. And I was out there at 9 in the morning and I didn't put him in until almost noon. So, yeah, it was really tough. And, we brought him up to the sanctuary and, I was like, okay, when I open this door, you know, he's got 10 acres and he's gonna be free, which is great, you know. And then after he ran out, 20 minutes, he just ran around and he was a horse. He was just breakdancing all over the place. He was happy as could be.
So he was taken to, what's the name of the sanctuary?
The name of the horse sanctuary is Wild for Life. It's in the Temecula area, amongst a whole bunch of Indian reservations. It's a little bit of a different climate, just like you described your climate in Arizona, where you have a little bit more water than normal because you're in a specific section. Temecula, if you go just far enough east, you elevate and everything, the topography changes and, you know, there's grass and there's water underneath, there's a water table and so forth. And, it's a really great place. It's over 100 acres.
Temecula is beautiful. And so you took him up there, you backed the trailer up, opened the door, and he just stepped out into a 10-acre field with other horses, or was he by himself? How's he living now?
That day they kept him by himself. And then Lady had this other thoroughbred that she had rescued, and she was really depressed. And so she was like, you know what, let's try this. Maybe it'll work out. And so introduced the horse to Random, and they became instantly best buds, and her depression went away. So they decided to see how it worked out, and they noticed that they would just follow each other around all day and go from one season into the next, and they became best buds. And I actually just called her 2 days ago and got the story. Because I needed some separation from the horse. I needed to kind of just let it be, you know, and just kind of let him be happy. And I knew he was, because after that first day, he was, a lot of the pictures that you see online is of him just sprinting around and just really stretching his legs. And, you know, one thing Monty identified with the horse, he said he bugles with his nose. So in other words, a lot of horses breathe fairly deeply and they almost snort with their nose. He had mentioned Random had a big one. You know, he just really, really cleared the plate that they have in the front part of the nose. And you could just tell. You could just tell he was happy. So doing great.
That's fantastic. So this horse that was very insecure and upset and had a terrible life is now living out his life at a rescue, Wild for Life Foundation. Fantastic job, Gabe. I mean, seriously, this horse would not be alive without you. And thank you for giving him a chance and giving him an even bigger chance by taking him out to California. I know it's not cheap to go out there, but it's totally worth it. And fantastic job, Gabe, really.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it just goes, the effort's well worth it. You know, it's a lot of work. Everybody that owns horses knows that. But at the end of the day, the reward is worth, you know, the amount of time and effort and everything you go through. And, you know, it makes you a better person too. You know, you feel like you've accomplished something. You've changed the trajectory of this animal's life for the better. And, you know, the whole thing that we did up at Monty's too, those techniques are proven. You know, I'm sure you've talked about it on your show before. But when you have a horse that comes to you willingly because it knows you and it trusts you and it knows that it's not going to get hurt, that particular bond is just, it's not the same. It's not the same than a horse that has been, you know, kind of tortured or beaten into submission to be able to react to you and be with you. You know, because it's just waiting for its moment to be like, oh wow, I can finally get away. You know, you always have to be, you always have to worry about that. So, you know, Mon's techniques, they go a long way. I was mesmerized, you know, at first.
Right.
And then I looked at it and I'm like, this is genius in its simplicity. You know,
yeah.
There's no smoke and mirrors. There's no tricks. It's just straight logic. This is how a horse reacts when you do certain things to it. And as long as you don't hurt it, it really doesn't have the reason to act up. And seemingly it's worked. You know, if I can learn it in 2 weeks, not knowing about it, and then, you know, be able to perform it, it can't be that difficult. You just have to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Wild for Life Foundation is where Random is, and your rescue is Farallone. You guys just changed the name, I believe, right? The Farallone Farms Thoroughbred Horse Rescue, and you guys can check them out on Facebook. They are a 501c3, and Gabe and his wife go to these auctions, and they buy the horses that nobody would buy. So thanks for doing that, and you guys do a fantastic job for all the horses. And Gabe, it was so great. Glenn, let's be honest. Gabe and I might have done a lot of beer tasting when we were in California.
Big surprise there.
There's a lot of really good brew pubs, and we had to sample them.
Yeah, I must say, Solvang definitely does have its fair share.
Well, there is a big Air Force base right there. So, I mean, it's like... Any place there's an Air Force base, I've noticed three things. There are strip clubs, pawn shops, and a lot of pubs.
That's any military base.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be Air Force.
That was a great story. Well told, Gabe. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Jamie. I definitely look forward to, actually coming out by you as well. I don't know if you've started up your efforts as well. So I commend you for everything you do for the horse community. It's very well appreciated.
Oh gosh. Right now I'm just trying to tame a wild Mustang and ride a 17 two-hand thoroughbred. So, but someday we bought the land and in two or three years we'll be moving to the place in Oklahoma. And now I'm just collecting horses on my tiny 3-acre property.
Yeah. Wonderful. And you know, be careful. They add up.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, she has me to remind her of that every day. So no problem there, Gabe.
There's one other thing I also want to mention, too. Random was what he was. But you also brought your horses, too. And Thor, just an amazing Mustang. When I saw him, I was like, that's a Mustang? He's like, yeah, that's a Mustang. I'm like, well, how come every Mustang I've seen is half his size? And, you know, I guess they come in all shapes and sizes. But... you see Jamie on this horse and it's just beautiful and graceful, but at the same time, this lovable, goofy, almost like a Great Dane would be. If you've seen Great Danes run, they're majestic and then all of a sudden they get real goofy. And so Thor was running around with Jamie and, you know, I was like, wow, this is crazy. I've never seen anyone ride a horse like this. And after that first weekend, you spent some time with Monty and you were unrecognizable the second week. The poise and the control and the focus that you adapted over that weekend was not the same horse. And for sure, you became a much better rider. You look like, you know, you're eventing. You look, as if you're in competition. And so, I noticed that right away. And if I don't really go to competition. So if I notice it, it definitely exists.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. Anybody who is lucky enough to spend a weekend taking riding lessons from Monty Roberts doesn't improve. I mean, my God, I was like the greatest 2 weeks ever, for sure, being able to be there. And it was life-changing. And the confidence that I have now riding this horse and I just can't even say enough about Monty and his place. So thank you for saying that. And thank you for taking, Gabe was the resident photographer. So any picture that you have, Gabriel took, because he was just always with this awesome camera. So it was great. It was like leaving grown-up summer camp at the end of it, that's for sure. But just congratulations with what happened with Random, and good luck with everything. And I did see that you guys just rescued a big giant chestnut thoroughbred, and I've got my name on that one. Okay. He's mine.
you better hear. You might be gone by the time you call.
darn it. I've got 7 stalls and 8 horses. I think
Chad just drowned her phone, so she will not be calling anytime soon, Gabe, I think. All right, Gabe, thanks a lot.
Well, thanks so much.
All right.
Yeah, thank Bye-bye. You guys very much. Have a great morning.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
What a fascinating story, and he did the right thing. You know, anytime you can let a horse be a horse again, there's nothing to feel ashamed or sad about.
Oh, gosh. You know. I mean, it was just the perfect ending for a horse like that. Seeing all the pain that horse made me cry so many times, because seeing the pain, like the fear, and realizing that some human did this to him, it just made it even more, it made it even sadder to watch that. I can't stand to see anything in pain or in afraid. And, you know, I mean, my gosh, they gave him the good old college try, that's for sure.
Well, EcoVet's coming up, and then we're going to play a little Raquel Renner. I mentioned her the other day, and you were surprised I didn't play her song because I didn't have it ready, but we talked about she was doing a show the other night and
Squirrel.
Down in Florida, and Rick Springfield was there in the audience and actually came up and played a tune or two with her. That's pretty cool, huh? So we're going to play a little Raquel Renner, I Want to Know You, and then we're coming back with really bad ads, and it's a pick-a-winner day of the Flex and Fork.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if your horse could enjoy a zone of repellency from pesky flies? Well, he can with EcoVet. EcoVet is an entirely new type of fly repellent that is safe for horses and those applying it, offering a real alternative to toxic pesticides like pyrethrins. EcoVet confuses an insect's normal directional ability, the bug's GPS, if you will. So if it can't locate your horse, it can't bite your horse. Dr. Wendy Ying from the Driving Radio Show has been using it in South Florida, also known as the Jurassic Park of biting insects, and she just loves it. EcoVet's active ingredients are naturally occurring food-grade fatty acids that have been clinically shown to improve the condition of horses with difficult-to-treat sweet itch problems. EcoVet is effective on mosquitoes, ticks, noceums, as well as flies. You can visit EcoVet online at eco-vet.com for more information or to order. You can find EcoVet at Dover Saddlery Stores, and EcoVet's on Facebook. Just search EcoVet, E-C-O-V-E-T.
I wanna talk with you. I wanna see the world through your eyes. I wanna stay with you. I wanna play with you. Hear the rain fall down from your skies. Don't be afraid to show me what you made of. I'm not afraid of the truth. What you think they mean? I wanna feel what makes your heart beat. If you take a stand that I don't understand, it's okay if it's confusing to me. Uncomplicated is so overrated. Love is not just something you do. I wanna know, yeah. talk with you. I want to see the world through your eyes.
Say, pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, and we do this every Friday. It's a time when our listeners submit really bad ads, and they come on, or we come on here and just have a little fun with them. And this is brought to you by EquityMFG.com, the finest manure forks in the world. You can find two options there, the Flex and Fork and the Shake and Fork. Head on over and check them out. I got to tell you, these are the forks that we've been using here at the Horse Radio Network, and all of our hosts have been using for years and years and years. They do not break. They are the longest lasting forks that you'll find, and they're the best forks. They actually have a built-in suspension system, so you don't realize how important that is until you use a manure fork from Equity, and then you go use one that isn't an Equity fork, and then you go, ugh. Why did I use this thing all these years? Used them because they were cheap, but you get what you pay for, and that's why Equity really works. They put the time and effort into making a fork that works. If you haven't seen the video yet, you should watch the video of them testing these forks. They take and whack them on the ground. It's just an amazing video to watch, and I think we've all beaten our forks like that. So EquityMFG.com. We are going to give away a Flex and Fork later in the show. Diane Berto of Equity is going to be on with us after we do the ads, and we're going to give away a fork like we do every single month. And at the end of the year, everybody who submitted ads is going to be in the drawing for a Shake and Fork. That's a $300 value. Coming up all the rest of this year, you can still get your ads in. All right. Jamie, first ad was sent in by Heather. And Heather sent this one in. Litter box cleaning for pancakes. I have a terrible problem. My litter box is dirty and smells horrible, and I don't want to clean it. I'm amazing at making pancakes, however. I will trade my pancake skills for a clean litter box. Serious inquiries only.
Ugh.
Is this a personal ad, do you think?
So gross, though. Like, who ties in litter box cleaning
pancakes?
Like, just the title made me think of scoop. Like, I have that clumping litter and for the litter box. And, like, sometimes when you pull out those little pea things, they're kind of shaped like pancakes. And that's what I was thinking of.
So I was thinking about that too. Do I really want to go to a house of a person who hasn't cleaned their litter box and eat pancakes?
No, and no. That just makes me think that just she needs to wash her hands. I don't know why. I just was like, she needs to wash her hands.
Ugh, stinky.
Yeah, gross. The next one was sent in by Robin, Project Horse, $325. And short and sweet. Project Horse 325 in Harwood. 6 to 7 year old sorrel gelding. Great confirmation. Quick mover, stocky, about 15-ish hands. Halter broke, has had round pin work, and has been out to pasture for almost 3 years now. Contact for more details and questions, and will require horse experience. You mean it's not kid safe, bomb proof, even though it's been on the pasture for 3 years and was halter broke before that? Wow, I'm shocked.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's wrong with this ad? I mean, it's been perfect. It's the perfect horse compared to most of the ads we have. Did you see that video, by the way, of the guy? Somebody posted it, I think, on one of our pages, of the guy that did a video about calling.
I sent you that so you could. I forgot. I sent you that so we could play that live on the air. Can you pull that up while
we
read this?
Was that on the was that on the auditor page? I think it was. If it's on the auditor page, I can pull it up and we'll. Oh, I do have it. We can play it then. Let me get that ready. Horse trailer $350 sent in by Nicole. It's our horse trailer of the week. Two horse trailer needs welding, tires, sides, roof. I'm adding all of those. a floor, but it sells with a good title. It does have a title, Jamie. That's a plus over some of them that haven't had titles.
I don't know what you title on this. I mean, there's like.
Just rust.
The whole, like, the trailer, the whole, it's one of those little two-horse kind of 1950s type trailer. It's got wood paneling, and the wood is missing in spots, and it's warped. But the whole trailer, like, the top, if you were to put your hands together, like, fingertip to fingertip as the roof, and then pointed downwards, like, the whole top is bent. Like, if you were to put a marble on one end, it would go right to the middle of the trailer. I don't
know. Looks like an alien landed in the middle of the trailer.
Yeah, like, they landed a helicopter on top of it and squished it. And it has a good...
Do people really sell these things for $350? I mean, that's my question.
That's why I want the dang phone.
The more important question is people buy it for $350.
I know.
But that's what we don't know. Wow. We don't know. I've put stuff on Craigslist. I've been trying to sell this dang baby car seat of mine forever, and not one person to look at it. And I bet this thing sold in 5 minutes.
Do you want to hear this video? Okay, so this is a guy who was making fun of ads that are on Craigslist, and he plays both parts, right, in this video?
No. He's just on the phone.
This is him on the phone. But he talks to the buyer or the seller.
Seller.
So, yeah. All right, here we go.
Oh, hey, I was calling about that yearling quarter horse filly you got for sale there.
Oh, yes. My yearling filly, she has 3 years professional training by me, of course, because I train barrel horses. And she's quarter horse, and the other quarter is an off-track Palomino thoroughbred. And she's green broke, and she'll go anywhere and do anything. She's so awesome.
The guy's looking at his phone.
Hello? Are you still there? She jumped 6 feet and I just got her gelded too. Hello?
She jumped 6 feet and I just got her gelded. And we've had all those ads.
We have green broke, but totally awesome. Yeah. Goes anywhere, does anything. Oh my gosh, too funny.
Palomino thoroughbred.
Yeah, but she's quarter horse, but the other quarter.
Yeah.
That doesn't even add. Oh, okay. Well, the next one was sent in by Tracy. Mare. Oh God. All right. So this is all misspelled. Mare Red Rome, pregnant quarter horse, $450 or trade. Call me or text.
Just call me or text.
She hasn't been ride in a while. She's skittish. Sometimes I and K-Ow about horses bring trailer won't last. What the hell did I just read? Call me or text. She hasn't been ride in a while. She's skittish. Sometimes I and K Ow about horses bring trailer won't last. Oh, I get it. Okay, so you take the trailer that Glenn just talked about, get the horse, and they won't last long because it's going to crash and
they're
die.
They're going to crash, right.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. That's a bad ad.
That's a bad ad. Insuit? I don't know the name. I can't say that name. That's a new one for us. I don't know how to say your name, and I'm sorry. But the last name is O'Cleary, so we'll go with that. Two red and white Stallions. Yes, that's right. Two red and white stallions are for sale. Two red and white stallions for sale, a four-year-old and a two-year-old. $450 for the four-year-old, ridden and driven and jumping. The two-year-old, three-quarter bred, B-R-E-A-D, just riding and $250 ring. That's right. It's a $250 ring. That's what it costs.
Okay,
for your
hold
two
on
stallions.
A second.
I know, it's a very confusing ad.
It's confusing. Glenn, I hear an echo. I don't know why. I feel like...
I'm not hearing one.
Okay. What is a red and white stallion? And the person who sent this in, Isult O'Cleary, says that bad ads just aren't an American thing. So she's in another country.
Yeah,
so
we
might, but this is apparently bad no matter where. And you gave them too much credit because they put Quater Horse.
Yeah, Quater Bread, B-R-E-A-D.
It's a Quater Bread. And yes. I didn't know that they had Quater Breads in other countries too, because we have them here.
That's
They're
right.
very popular here.
And apparently wherever she lives, they don't know how to put the G's on the end of words. They're missing a lot of G's.
Yes. Riding and driving and jumping.
Riding and driving.
Oh, Rachel sent in the next one. This one's yours too.
Oh, bee nest. That's right. Free bee nest. It is in the compost barrel. If you want it, you have to come and remove it. I won't pay for removal of it.
Oh my. You know what? I have gophers
that
you can have for free if you just come
Maybe
and get
Maybe you should have put an ad on Craigslist. All these years you've been fighting with those gophers. All it took was an ad.
That would have been genius. I don't know what I was thinking.
I don't either.
Uta sent in the next one. This one's great. Stuff for sale, $5. Ooh. She says, one of these things isn't like the others. I cleaned out the tack room recently and found some stuff I don't use or want anyone. Leather bridles, $10. Nylon bridles, $5. Nylon trail halter bridle, $10. Saddle pads, girth, leather draw reins, bits, legs, wraps, $2. Slip-on spurs, $2. Brushes, $1. Ear fly protectors, miscellany, and clips, $1. Gray mare, $100. All offers will be considered. Just ask if you have more questions. First come, first serves. Then she gets into some more details. Some bridles have reins included. One has a matching breast collar. Saddle pads are various in colors and in decent shape. If it's not listed, offer a price. Thanks for looking.
Oh, you forgot the most important part. Mare is a bit older.
Oh,
she does reference the mare again.
Wow.
I love how she threw the gray mare in there. Ah, I got the gray mare in the tack trunk. You can take that too.
I was cleaning out the tack room recently and found stuff I don't want.
Apparently the gray mare is in the tack room. I'm not
the
sure.
The gray mare is in the tack room. I don't want her anymore. Just get rid of it.
You can have her. She's a bit older. Can't get her out of the tack room anymore.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible ad. Gosh. Poor gray mare. Jody sent in the next one. Juan Teted Nice Horse. Is there any punctuation? No. Looking for a nice gledding horse for a friend, not wanting to spend no more than 800 day lures, at least in at least somewhat broke something with resale potential. Best Kasway, not sure if Cheese going to like the horse thing, but she wants to tire it because we have stuff to do. Tog E Tather Ismail picks.
Okay, please do not sell these people a horse. Please.
Oh, good Lord.
I love how Cheese is spelled C-H-E-E-Z-E.
That's not even the word they wanted.
I know. That was a bad ad.
Chizé. Not sure if Chizé is going to like the horse thing. So basically, they're looking for, let me get this ad, because even if it was spelled correctly and done correctly, it's still a bad ad. So basically, they want a nice gelding, well broke, with resale potential for no more than $800. So if you can find one of those.
for a woman that they're not sure is even going to like the horse thing.
Yeah, so, we don't know if he's going to like your horse or not. But if
can I recommend maybe a trail ride or two first off before you buy the horse?
Lease a horse, maybe. Maybe try that.
Yeah, that'd be good. All right. Beginner horse, $350 sent in by Paige. Is a healing horse. Can work the cows the quickest. Is perfected for a beginner as he is patient and has never bucked or reared one. He's in your pocket. Period. Only one there. A fancy looker. Ike's jelly beans. Contact to pick up. Please bring cashes only. Jeez, there's a lot of punctuation in this one. I like how he yikes jelly beans. I know.
I mean, you don't. They don't tell us how old he is. No. They don't tell us what
he's
breed
a healing
he
horse.
Is.
He
they
can
don't.
Work the cows the quickest.
And its healing is spelled like H-E-A-L. Like
he's
I thought,
a healing horse.
Riding
he's like,
horse.
He's mystic. He's a mystic healing horse. For only $350, you can't beat that price for a healing horse.
What's bad is they posted this. I mean, granted, the only detail they gave him is he likes jelly beans. It's a real only detail. But the fact is that if you could see this ad, you guys, it's like the person didn't realize that their caps lock key was on.
Oh, yeah.
And everything is in capital letters, except they actually did try to punctuate the first letter in every sentence because they're all lowercase. Like, it's like
I have to admit, though, because I'm a bad typist, that I don't look at the screen. I have to look at the keyboard. So I have done that 100 times. I've gotten through a whole paragraph where it looks just like this with, you know, the small letters, big letters reversed. And I've gone, oh, man, I got to retype that whole thing. Do I want to do that or just send it like this?
Here's your lesson.
It's depressing.
Retype it. Yes, because it'll come out looking like this. This is like, why would you submit this? Wouldn't you look at it before you hit send? I mean, geez, Louise. Okay, sorry. Our final one for the day before we get to Diane. Two horses, chicken and cow. Two horses, chickens and cow. $200 in Tuscaloosa. Oh, good Lord, that's in Alabama. I'm going to have to read it like it's in Alabama.
Yeah, you're horses. Not going to like this ad, but I gave it to you anyway.
And it's really more like a haiku
that's right. poem
because everything is on a different line. Okay. Horses, black and brown. Horses, Gentile and sweat. Horses, barefoot, not ridden, and probably not broken. Horses, get away. Cow, large white and blackish milking cow. Cow doesn't do too much. Cow you could use for meats. Chickens are the regular farm. Chickens are white with red on their heads. Chickens, gals, lay some good large eggs. Chickens. I sell coop with them if interested. Chickens. One rooster. Questionable. If you want, you can use for breading. Chicken, cow, horse. Want all gone. Can go together or separated. Email, please, for pickup Tim. That was poetry right there. That was beautiful. We could publish that and make $1 million. Chickens are white. W-I-T-E. With red on their heads. That even rhymed.
I like chickens. One rooster. Questionable. Aren't they all?
Oh, gosh. If that was, that would win. That would win.
That made my face hurt. All right.
That's beautiful.
Diane,
like
do you have any questions?
Wait, hold on. We should do this after I read that.
Okay.
Email for pickup, Tim. You snap. That's the applause at a small poetry reading.
All right, we have Diane on here from EquityMFG.com. Do you have any questionable roosters, Diane?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
Just but a I questionable think
Jamie
husband.
Needs. Yeah, questionable husband. Jamie deserves some sort of an award for the reading of that.
It was great.
Oh,
the reward is that I got to read that.
Yes.
It made my day.
Thank you to Cape Waves. We don't have their real name. Cape Waves sent that one in. That was hilarious. That was very good.
Oh, gosh.
That's going to go down in history as one of the best. And because of your reading did it. Well, Diane,
yes, it
was. I got to say, I've been watching the news, and your husband, Joseph, is a helicopter pilot for firefighters, and he must be busy.
I hate to tell you this, but he's sitting down in Southern California twiddling his thumbs right now. So they are not flying.
Oh, wow.
Why?
No, there were
no
a lot of fires
down there.
Oh, okay.
No, no fires down there. So their contract is up.
So you...
on the 15th, and at this point, they don't think they're getting extended, so...
Oh, no.
Well, that's good news. I mean, that's good news that there's no
yeah,
fires.
He's
that's
got
nice
a list
news.
A mile long, yep, to come home to do. So he's
honeydew.
Yeah, he's been gone for a little while. So let me get this right. He's sitting on a beach drinking Mai Tais and letting you at home to do all the work. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, close, yes.
Yeah.
No beach.
Well, it's like
he's,
Chad's...
He's
it's
hanging
like
out
husband's...
either at Big Bear or Arrowhead.
Yeah, Big Bear is not a bad place to be. But it's like my husband's trips. Like, oh, I got to go. I got to work so hard. And I'm in Vegas or I'm on the beach in Hawaii. Like, come on. There's some element of they're enjoying themselves immensely, even though it's supposed to be this work thing. Please. Be lying to.
Well, we are going to do a drawing here, and we're going to give one of our wonderful listeners and submitters a Equity MFG Flex and Fork. And now, with the forks, we don't talk about this too often, but they get a choice of the size of the heads, which is the distance between the tines, right?
Correct.
Okay, so there's two different ones, and that's basically, depending on what you're doing with your fork or what bedding you use, that's really what the driving factor there is, right?
Yes, I use the mini tine outside in my dry lot paddocks to pick up the poop. There's no bedding at all, and I like to get every little crumb. So
gross! I've
I
never
use
heard
the mini tine.
All crumbs.
You know, we use the mini tines outside, and I kind of want to switch to the other because they get caught up in our grass because we have such stringy grass. So.
I don't have grass in my outside paddocks that I clean.
Yeah, okay. Because we don't care about the crumbs. That all gets hidden in the grass. See?
Yes. Yeah, just rub it in, yes.
Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah, it's just the ants will take care of the rest of it. So, all right, because we never talk about that, but there is choices when you go there, and that's even true of the shaken fork, right?
Yes.
You get the choice of the baskets.
You can get either. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So you'll have to take a look at that. They describe on the website which bedding you use and which would be best for which bedding, because that makes a difference, too. So to check that out before you actually purchase the fork. All right, let's see who our winner is going to be. Diane, you need to pick between 1 and 193, and let me check if Jennifer is ready. Are you ready, Jennifer? Jennifer.
I am ready.
Okay, you have the chart there, so Jennifer's going to let us know who the winner is. All right, 1 and 193, a lot of them this time.
I guess. 106.
106 is the winner.
106, the winner is, drumroll please, Chelsea.
I got to do
Chelsea
better.
Crowley wins the Flex and Fork.
Hey, Chelsea Crowley.
Yay!
I know she submits a lot, so good for her. She wins herself a Flex and Fork. Chelsea, you're going to get an email, and Jennifer will set you up with Diane, and you can get your fork and which one you need all picked out. And Diane, we do thank you again so much. I have to tell you guys something that you don't know yet, and that is, Diane, do you know what TED Talks are? T-E-D, what TED Talks are?
I've heard of it,
and
but I
Jamie,
don't
you know
remember
what TED Talks are?
No clue.
Okay, so TED Talks are these things that were put on by an organization where very important, famous people get up and talk about things they've learned in business or their life. They're very emotional usually, and they're very interesting. If you go to just search TED Talks, you'll find them. They're absolutely fascinating to watch. They're done in front of a live audience, and it's really become a huge deal. They get tens of millions of downloads for TED Talks, and I've I've been talking about equity in some of my talks that I've been doing to other podcasters, because they're all fascinated by the fact that we have a manure fork company that advertises with us when people are listening, cleaning their stalls. They think that's just the circle of life come together, right? So I had one of them who has been invited to do a TED Talk contact me for details on equity, because he is going to include equity in his TED Talk.
Cool.
So, oh, great.
Yes. So that's kind of a big deal. If you're included in a TED Talk, that's kind of a big deal, because they truly get millions of downloads. So good for you guys.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
He's supposed to let me know when it actually goes live. That'll probably be months from now. But I'll let you know, and then you can go take a listen to you guys on the big stage.
Great. Sounds wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you, Diane.
All right.
Take
thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye. Bye, Jamie.
Bye, Diane.
So that's pretty cool. But by the way, well done with that reading. that was very well done.
You know, it was a beautiful piece
that
of artwork.
One. I think we need to cut that out and play it again sometime. That's beautiful. It was art.
I channeled the inner artist in me. You guys, I mean, you know what a good singer I am.
Yeah,
so,
you know what? We really should have put some banjos behind it, and we'd be in good shape with that.
We can make it musical.
In my mind, I was hearing banjos as you were saying. I don't know, and you were down by a river somewhere. I don't know. Maybe the movie Deliverance is coming to mind. I have no idea.
I don't know why. I don't know. Let that go.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. We're going to try and get the pony out this weekend, take him over to the Florida Horse Park and, you know, get him out moving around in the real world now that it's 93 degrees instead of 94 every day. But he needs to start getting out. He's getting bored here at the farm. So we're hoping
your weather people say the same thing that Phoenix do. Like you said, 94 to 93. Here is like, it was 110. And then today's high will be 108. And they'll go, all right, 2 degrees colder than yesterday.
Right, exactly.
And
I'm like,
yeah.
You freaking kidding me?
Lower chance of rain today. Yeah.
You know, there's two places. Three places it would suck being a weatherman: Florida, Phoenix, or Arizona, and California. Because really, the weather forecast is the same every day. Here, it's 94 degrees, 100% humidity, and a 50% chance of rain every day. With you, it's just 108 and sunny. Oh, and we're going to have that occasional wind, you know, dust storm that's going to blow through. That's probably so exciting when they get a haboob.
But seriously, to tell me that 106 is two degrees colder than 108.
Going in the right. Nothing. Oh, and the next thing they're going to say is it's going in the right direction.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I've heard you. Wow. It's like you've been here. Get out of my head.
Fun show today. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to Kentucky Performance Products for their continuing support of the show. We really appreciate it. And also thank you to Ecovet Fly Repellent. Well, Jamie, we'll talk to you again on, we're not here on Monday. It's a holiday here in the United States. So Labor Day, we will be off on Labor Day. No show at all. Tuesday, we're coming back with Endurance. That's right. Karen will be here with our monthly Endurance episode. And then Wednesday, Jamie will be back. So that's what's happening. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. Have a great long weekend, Jamie.
Thank you very much. Get that pony out. I'm going to go ride one now. Spay, neuter, geld, all those things. And y'all have a great one. Talk to you again Wednesday.
Woo! I have a great prize for next week's Really Bad Ad, so stay tuned.
Man. Too bad it wasn't two horses, chicken, and cow. Send her something.